First of all, here is a church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, to whom the Lord says, "You, there are many good deeds you have done, and your toil and your perseverance. You cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles." Verse 2, and you know, there's so many good things there. Toil, perseverance. You can't endure evil. You test the false teachers. A lot of things that are true of our church. And of many of you who are serious about your Christian life. And you have persevered, endured for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. With all those good qualities which we have, we can think we are okay. That's the great danger of many, many Christians. They can look at all these good qualities, and I believe every one of these are good qualities that every Christian should have. If you look through verse 2 and 3, every one of these qualities we must have. You meditate on them sometime. But the whole thing gets cancelled out because you've left your first love. It's like, you know, you fill a vessel with something valuable, milk or something like that, and then you make one little hole at the bottom. It's a waste of time having filled it with milk, because that hole at the bottom drains out everything in it. It becomes of no value. And this is what happens to us when we lose our first love for Jesus Christ. And that is very easy to lose, because with many, many Christians I have seen, their personal devotion and worship of Christ is not as important to them as all their activity. And they, particularly, maybe some of you are very active in the church, which is a very good thing, because so many others are lazy and do nothing. And definitely we are thankful for those who are willing to serve the church in some way, do something for the church, volunteer and do things even without volunteering. Excellent. The great danger for you is that in the midst of all your activity and all your devotion and your faithful Bible reading and everything else, that personal devotion to Jesus Christ goes. And it's the things that you once did out of love for Christ is now become a burden, because you do it still, but it's not with the same spring in your step and the light in your eyes. No, it's become different. And that's a great tragedy. To love Jesus is to worship Him. And there's a principle that the Lord taught in the reply He gave to Satan when Satan asked Him to worship Him. In Matthew 4 and verse 10, Jesus said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." So what the Lord taught there is, we cannot serve the Lord in any way if we haven't become worshippers first. And I believe this is the great tragedy with a lot of Christian work today. The people who are serving the Lord are not worshippers. If they were worshippers, there would be a different tone in their service, in their ministry, and they wouldn't easily fall into sin like so many preachers are doing nowadays. It's all because worship and love for Jesus has gone. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul was burdened for the Christians in Corinth for one particular thing, and we have looked at this verse many times, and I'll tell you honestly, I never get tired of looking at it, because I want to make sure it never happens to me. Paul says, "I am jealous for you," verse 2, 2 Corinthians 11, 2, "with a godly jealousy, because I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. He's talking there of a bride getting ready to marry a bridegroom. And that is how the attitude we should be in all the time till Christ comes. And when Christ comes, we read the marriage of the Lamb is going to take place. And think how a bride looks if she's really in love with her husband. Think how eagerly she looks forward to that day and is just waiting, and she's not thinking of what she's going to cook, or she's not thinking of what she's going to do. She's just thinking that she loves her bridegroom so much and she wants to be with him. That is how it must be with a true Christian. So I'll tell you honestly that I'm not looking forward to go to heaven to find a comfortable place and freedom from pressure and problems and sicknesses. No. If you're looking for that, like a lot of Christians are, you know, a lot of people who are sick say, Lord, take me away from here. A lot of people who have problems, Lord, please take me away. I'm fed and sick and tired of this world. See, I don't think such people are really in love with Jesus Christ. They are looking forward to a heaven where life will be comfortable and easy. And the great danger of that is that even on earth, we will choose a path of Christianity that is comfortable and easy, which does not require too much sacrifice and self-denial, because what we are looking forward to in heaven is comfort and ease and big mansion and gold and plenty, gold on the streets, plenty of money. And also Jesus. So people who are looking to go to heaven for all those things and also Jesus will also be like that on earth. They say, well, thank God that we have so many things. We've got a good job, I got a good salary, I got a good house and a lot of comfort and ease. And also Jesus. Jesus is not primary. Just search your heart and see if that is true what I'm saying or not. Think of a bridegroom is looking forward to the house that she's going to live in and how much money her husband's going to earn and not him himself. That's not a very healthy, it's not going to be a very healthy marriage. And unfortunately, a lot of marriages in India are like that. Because this is where, when it says here in the next verse, the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. See, when a person tries to deceive you with a counterfeit gold or counterfeit currency note, he has succeeded only if you think you're not deceived. If you think you are deceived, he has not succeeded. You see, his effort was a failure. He tried to fool me, but he couldn't. But here it says Satan deceives people with his craftiness. And don't imagine, oh no, no, I'm not deceived. Maybe you're not, but maybe you are and you don't realize it. And we need to check ourselves. I mean, if there's a lot of counterfeit currency going around in the city, you'll be very careful about anything that you receive, even in a shop. So it says here, the way the devil deceives us is our mind is led astray from simple, pure devotion to Jesus Christ. It gets taken up with some other thing, not with evil things. I mean, if the devil gives you something evil, there are evil things the devil offers us, like telling lies and stealing and lusting after women and all that. But there's no deception. There's no deception there at all. It's obvious. You see the devil asking you to do something which your conscience tells you is wrong. Where's the deception there? Zero. It's when we are doing so many things which we know are absolutely right. And we are zealous, and it's just that we have cooled off in our devotion to Christ. And that can happen in a church after some years. And it can happen to a Christian after some years. And so, if we are not careful, if we don't keep checking ourselves, it can happen to you.